I don't even want to know what that was.
That was nothing. That's what that was. Mind your business.
Pre-productions once again at an absolute mess.
I don't know what you speak of.
You don't know what I speak of? Sure you don't. Are you ready?
Are you ready
for a good time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to sing that trash song. I don't really like that song, actually. Who sings it? Isn't that AC/DC?
I think so, yeah.
So I don't want to be disrespectful. But, yeah, I don't really like it because, by comparison, they seem to put way more effort and edge into whatever song they use for Raw. But I don't like neither one, so don't get me wrong. That was a drunk rant. Okay. All right. So,
I forgot you were drunk. If we're going to do this,
I'm not drunk.
Right?
Okay, I'm not drunk.
Hello.
One glass.
Hello, podcast audience. We are the Mind of Monty podcast, and we're back to give you a great edition of...
That's the cat. I told you he was going to do this.
Wow. He's the worst.
Didn't say nothing.
We sat in here for a whole 5 minutes to see what he would do, and he decided to just show up and act a fool. Anyway, we're going to start this off with the AEW Dynamite results.
Why is he acting like... Screaming like he dying. That's the worst part.
I'm going to have to go check on him.
Oh, my God. Go ahead. Check on it.
Before I do that.
Do I need to pause and edit him out?
He fine.
Why is he getting louder?
He's walking in here.
This is not funny, by the way, live audience.
He's walking in here. Anyway.
It's not funny. Okay. All right. Refocus me because I'm like.
We had the tag team gauntlet match. First up, it was the Best Friends versus the, who was, no, that wasn't right. It was Natural Nightmares versus the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks took them out. Then it was the Best Friends versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah, straight gauntlet match action.
Hangman Page came in and cost the Young Bucks their match.
And that was a straight shock. Social media was a trip after that. A lot of people were hurt. Hey, man, like I tweeted out, he has been out of the Elite for a long time. And later on, they decided to make it official. But, you know, we'll get to that. Well, not really. I just made it official. We'll need to talk about it later. They kicked him out of the Elite because of this, which I don't blame him. I don't think anyone blames him.
And then, hold on, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Best Friends lose to FTR. So FTR will be taking on Kenny and Hangman at All Out next Saturday.
So we already can see the it just seems like it's perfect time for FTR to take the belts, be the champs, and perfect time for Kenny and Hangman's relationship to come to a head. We already can see Hangman is obviously, he should be different after what happened. He gets kicked out of the Elite. I don't think he meant what he did, but at the end of the day, he did do what he did. So he can't be that conflicted. So something's going to change with him. And we already seen kind of on edge Kenny is. So All Out might be where a lot of things come to a head with this nice storyline. Apollo is going to let his voice be known until he gets in here and realizes everything is cool, and then he's going to shut up.
Next, we've got Lance.
I'm saying that in the nicest way possible.
Next, we've got Lance Archer versus Sean Maluta.
Yes. I think they said he's Alpha's nephew. I think that's how they explained it, but I don't want to be wrong. So, either way it go, it didn't work out at form as you would imagine. And, you know, everybody, there's an Archer, so you already know the result.
Yes, and then...
Everybody dies.
And then Jake gave a nice old man promo.
Oh, yeah, it was very, very good. He called, I assume Ricky Starks, but I don't know who. I really want to know who he called Wilma.
Ricky was
when he
white.
Said they were wearing the Flintstones. I thought maybe because of the shirt, the shirt was tight too. You know, maybe he called Ricky Wilma, but I don't know. He was wearing white, so I don't know. But anyway, that's not important. The point is that it was very entertaining to watch Taz and Jake go back and forth and kind of roast each other, and Darby Allin kicking Ricky out of his shoes. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. So that's the one thing I love about AEW, man. Like, no scene or no promo, nothing seems out of place. You know what I mean? It all seems to be achieving something. Like, this was set up to not only promote the Casino Battle Royale, but also to not only start a little, you can start a little bit of some heat between Archer and Brian Cage. And you capitalize on what Darby Allin and Ricky Starks already have going on. So it was a very profitable segment, if you ask me. It moved things forward.
Okay. Also, Ricky, it's a fashion corner moment. Just fashion corner. All right, sweetheart. The thing is, we don't wear chain belts anymore because they're not stable. And with the price tag on most of your outfits, I'm pretty sure that costs a lot. And then it
who
just
is
broke.
We?
We the people.
You speak for everyone.
We the people.
Okay, gotcha.
He spent all that money allegedly on this belt for it to break, which is a waste. Disappointed. You gotta do better.
My girl Diamante had ended up with his shoes, so you know that show you how stable they were.
They weren't.
He was not prepared to bump in those shoes.
I told you. I was like, he gonna come out here with some slippers on, and it ain't gonna work out. All right, that's the end of that fashion corner. Press the button.
Oh.
Fashion corner.
I don't be ready about the timings, man.
All right, then we had John Moxley and MJF's contract signing. They faxed John a copy of the contract so he could read through it. They make this whole show of saying, "Ah, we got you, John. You're never supposed to sign over your rights and this, that, and other." And then he says, "Oh, wait, y'all so graciously approved what I added on page 17? 17, right? Or 7?
Right, it was 17.
Okay, and then turns out he has to fight the lawyer. And the paradigm shift is legal.
Yep, next
and
week.
And if the lawyer doesn't show up, yes. I think, is it a Wednesday night episode next week?
Not sure exactly what date. They didn't make sure to remind us that the date is different. So maybe it's back on Wednesday.
Maybe.
We'll find out. It'll be promoted. We'll see.
But yeah.
Anyway, the segment was pretty, very, very cool. It was nice, even with the 10%. Capacity. It was nice to hear that crowd during that segment. Really gave the show, the crowd the whole night really gave the show some life. Also, MJF did another very, very great job at getting that. He's just so good at getting heat. So good at seemingly getting under everyone's skin. Even if it is just the people that around him, like Wardlow, it doesn't matter. He's just good at being irritating, and he's great on the mic, so I love anytime he gets an extended period to talk. So this segment achieved what it was set out to achieve, and I think it only should get you ready for their match at All Out, even without Moxley being allowed to use his finish or primary finish, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Next up, we've got an 8-man tag match. It was.
Oh, by the way, congrats to John Moxley being number one on PWI. He deserves it. We were discussing it, and I basically went back and found out that other than maybe like one or two matches, I don't think Moxley has even lost since he left WWE last year. So he definitely, in my opinion, I think is very believable. I see people making arguments for Adam Cole. I get that. But Moxley, I don't think you can go wrong with either or. So, yeah. Okay, sorry. Going now, next, to whatever you were about to say.
Next up, we have an 8-man tag team match. It was the Lucha Bros and the Butcher and the Blade versus Joey Janela, Sonny Kiss, Brian Pillman Jr., and Griff Garrison
got some TV time.
Griff needs to stay off my TV.
You don't want to see Griff Garrison?
He's too tall.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's your criticism. That is terrible. That is absolute terrible criticism. This match was what it was. It achieved its goal. I know I said that exact phrase before plenty of times. It was simple. I don't want to make it seem like I didn't pay attention to the match. It was cool, but it was obvious from the beginning because not, and no offense to Brian Pillman Jr., who did great in the small period of time I seen him in the match. And even no offense to Griff Garrison, but we all know when they're involved in the match, they're probably going to get pinned. And so, I was into the match, but it wasn't like, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. So the expected end result took place. And, you know, Eddie Kingston reminded us that all, what, four or five of them, all five of them will be present in the Battle Royal. So if they all working together, you know, it's a good chance that they could win if they work together. But we all know how Battle Royals work. Someone's going to either turn on someone or they'll get eliminated separately, you know. I'll be surprised if any of those five win. But, hey, you know, Stranger Things, it's just for a shot at the title. So it doesn't really matter. Or it doesn't really have to be anyone who's involved with anything with Moxley. It could just be someone who can fight a match, a one-off. AEW has been so far pretty good at, giving people one-off title shots, if you see what I'm trying to say. Or just chances at things. Even if the champion retains, it's still, you know, AEW is much more, you're much more likely, seemingly in my opinion, to get just a random title shot.
earned it.
Yeah.
All right. Also,
win a couple matches. Next thing you know, you're number two. That's really how it seems to work.
Yeah. Also, Eddie Kingston kept showing us that at some point he's going to turn on these people.
Oh yes, he's obviously going to profit. He makes a point to include himself in. He's not just trying to manage. So yeah, you definitely have to watch Eddie Kingston.
All right.
He's obviously planning something.
I must have missed it, but we'll go ahead and go to it. So we had a great promo package about the Shida and Thunder Rosa match at All Out, where, first of all, you're not finna talk smack to me in my native language.
Right.
Let's just say that there, Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa is absolutely great. I'm just excited that she's involved. Been pretty great in the ring for a long time. Loved her, and everywhere I've seen her, do her thing, she's been pretty great. So I know her and Shida, if given the time and given the chance, and usually on the All Out stage or usually on pay-per-view stages, especially a women's champion, usually gets, you know, a chance. So I'm pretty sure circumstances, they should have a pretty great match. So I can't wait. And I think the hype package only helped. Like I said on Twitter, on the account, people should be excited about this. So
oh yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited. Like the couple matches I've seen by Thunder Rosa, was that in where were we watching that at?
Well, we was watching something on just Title Match Wrestling, but I know she has also Lucha Underground stuff and also Ring of Honor, but she's wrestled all around the world. But I know I was watching on a YouTube channel called Title Match Wrestling.
Yeah.
And she had a match, and there were no crowd there. It was during the quarantine. So she was just wrestling the match, and she was still the NWA champion. So
yeah,
she's been the NWA Women's Champion for a while now. So, and guess what? I'm not saying I think she's going to beat Shida, but Thunder Rosa is the type of, like, you know, great wrestler that you can't just write her off as it to being just an automatic loss. Like, she can come in, win the AEW Women's Championship, and, you know, would it be as part? They have let people who weren't necessarily signed get over before. So, I don't, you know. Who knows? That's the beauty of AEW. Beauty of AEW. What's wrong?
I just got the news that Chadwick Boseman died of cancer today.
Come on, Black Panther?
Yes.
Oh man, that's sad. Oh, I hate to say that's raw. Why we gotta do this? Yeah, man, that's tough. That's really tough. Today?
Yeah, like 15 minutes ago.
Wow, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Wow. 2020. That sucks, because I was just finna, I don't even want to say it now, knowing that, because I was about to tell you when we watched him do that. I was wondering, like, was he getting ready for a role? Because he looked smaller to me. And that's not, and that's sad. Oh my God, that's very sad now.
Yeah.
Phew. How can you talk about wrestling? We can do it, but yeah, we're gonna have to move on. But
cut
yeah,
that's part
tough.
Out.
That's tough. No, I can't. I can't cut that out because, yeah, I don't want to. It is what it is. It just happened. I knew when you gasped, it probably was something like that. But I was hoping that maybe it was just someone. I don't know. I don't know what I was hoping, but I didn't. I was just hoping that it wouldn't. That, but hey, you never can expect things like this. That's just, but this year, that's the type of stuff that's been going on. It's insanity to me. What is going on this year? Like, oh man, y'all just be safe out there and just take care of yourselves the best way you can. That's all I can hope for everyone. And I really hate to hear that news for anybody, especially like the loved ones of Chadwick Boseman and.
Rest in peace.
And I know we all, you know, like, he was already, like, I was just talking, when I saw him the other day, when I talked, again, in that same Kenny Smith segment, I saw on Inside the NBA when he did his tribute to Kobe, another person that we should, you know, rest in peace, of course. I was just telling you, he's like, yeah, he's forever like our black superhero. Like, that's just his role now.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, no matter what, he's going to always be that. And I mean that now even more, you know, even now, you know.
Yeah.
Now that you passed, you know, you still are a black superhero. And it sucks. It really sucks to hear that news.
Yeah, I mean he's done so much for us and just
did a lot in a short period of time. And I guess that's the common thing with like the same thing what I was saying about Nipsey and even if me and my grandfather was putting Kobe's situation in context when he really was saying he was like 41 is really young. Like a lot of people, you know, you listen to Kobe as an athlete and you say, you know, you watch his whole career for 20 years, so you think he was older, but 41 is not old.
It's not.
In the grand scheme of things. And
Chadwick was 43.
So, yeah, that's insane. So, and, like I said, Chadwick has done a lot of powerful visuals and cool things in a short period of time. So, to hear that news is very disheartening. It's whoo. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. But I don't even know what we were talking about before this. And I hate to segue right into it, but we really need to do this because we'll never get off
segment.
Air.
It was a good segment. give me a sec. Okay. Brody Lee came out with, oh my God, I can't even say it now. He was celebrating his win. They buried Cody, essentially. Called Anna Jay the Queen Slayer now in the ring while they're celebrating. Well, they basically made Tony Schiavone come out and interview him while they were celebrating QT and Gold. Oh shoot, Dustin QT
Gold Dust
QT and Dustin came out. To like attack him because he was like, oh, where your brother at now? Then Scorpio Sky came out to help. And then Brody was like ushering Anna Jay and Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana is still kicking with us after the alleged erotic asphyxiation thing from BTE.
Colt Cabana's face, by the way.
When he slapped John Silver,
when all of that was going on, like just so much shock and awe and confusion.
talking to people like,
it's
whoa. Just,
it's hilarious.
He hits y'all. That's
like,
what
well, yeah, like why? Said. Whoa, man, this took a turn. That's the way Colt looks and ignoring it. I love, and to skip ahead, I love the segment later on with Anna Jay basically help recruit Tay Conti into the Dark Order. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see her actually show up in the whole, you know, along with the rest of the members. And, you know, who knows? But either way it goes, I love everything about the Dark Order. I was so happy that they brought that a little bit of that stuff we see on Being the Elite out. And everything about Brody Lee's promo was just on the money. It was great. And I can't wait to see, you know, what's next with his run. I really can't wait.
Yeah, a lot of people are hoping that this is Scorpio Sky getting another crack at it. Let's wait, Scorpio. Let's wait. Then we had Big Swole take on Britt Baker, Penelope Ford, and Rebel. Good gear upgrade, Rebel. Still a little shaky on those ropes, but it's cool. We'll figure it out. Big Swole his dirty dancing on Kip outside while he was trying to like distract her. Rebel looks like she was trying to hit Big Swole, but she actually hit Penelope with the crutches. It looked like Rebel trying to sabotage as much as she can. And Big Swole picks up the victory, so now it'll just be her and Britt Baker.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. This match was not the best. It was very slow in places, and I don't know if AEW needs to make sure Rebel is sure whether or not she's going to jump full-time or at least make her work a little bit more so the timing can get a little bit better. Maybe that's what they're doing now, and I'm just, you know, filling up air right now. But either way it goes, the match wasn't the best-looking match, but It accomplished what it needed to accomplish, which allows us to move forward in the Swole and Britt Baker storyline. So, that's the positive. That's what we're looking forward to. Can't wait to see what match, what type of match, when, and what is it going to look like. I can't wait to see that. And also, I don't want to make it seem like Rebel is just that, this and that. I understand, you know, it is what it is, and you have to do what you have to do, especially right now. Penelope Ford didn't do necessarily everything perfect now. And I'm not even the wrestling stickler. I don't really, like, if you botch, I don't think that means your match is horrible now. It happens to everyone, so. I'm not trying to act like that. I just know at moments this match was, you know, kind of tough to watch. But either way it go, like I said, it did what it needed to do. And I'm still invested in what Britt Baker and Big Swole has going on. So does anything I just said even matters? I think that's important that I still care about the storyline. So all in all, I think that means it's a good segment.
I agree. And then we had a very rushed but very gory tables match between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. Sometime during the picture-in-picture, Sammy cut his head on the table. We couldn't get a good angle of it because it was during picture-in-picture, but he got himself pretty good. I forgot how the match ended. Let's see. Matt Hardy pulled out a table that read deleted and tried to put Sammy through it, but Matt was dazed trying to climb up on the top turnbuckle from a headbutt, allegedly, and Sammy picked him up and dumped him through the table. While they were selling this, you saw Orange Cassidy fly out of the backstage area to go jump on Chris Jericho, and that's how we ended the show with a brawl between Jericho, Orange Cassidy, And for some reason, Sammy kept trying to get in there, but
he was trying to break it apart, I guess. That was the quickest and most insane, probably quickest and bloodiest and most insane tables match in that in a amount of time I've ever seen. Like, it was only like 8 minutes left when that whole stuff started, and we got all of that in. Like you said, the brawl, Jericho pulling Mike Knox down and jumping in on Orange Cassidy towards the end, which really made me laugh. And the entire brawl segment was absolute chaos, and it's just what you expect, especially when Jericho's on commentary. You might as well expect that either before the end of the night or by the end of the night, he's going to get into some mess with somebody. But the table match was really great. Matt Hardy really made Sammy look good, and they're both insane for deciding to do what they did out there. I mean, mm-hmm. That gash on the side of Sammy Guevara's head was absolutely sick, and everyone noticed it. Everyone, saw it. I seen it reposted through my Twitter multiple times. So, it was hard to watch, too. It was very, very deep gash, very, very bloody. But it was a very quick but good match. So,
it tied up those old loose ends that we got hanging over the summer.
Exactly.
What's next for Matthew Hardy?
That's true. That's a really good question. Now, I saw something interesting. Maybe now what happens is he's broken again.
Maybe.
Because he tried to be Matthew, and he still gets taken out. So maybe this breaks him. Who knows?
Yeah. As we segue into SmackDown, another rest in peace, Bullet Bob Armstrong, father of Road Dogg and referee Scott Armstrong, and their other brother. I think he has three kids, right? Maybe four.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many to be.
It's true. A lot of y'all.
I don't want to be wrong.
But that's how SmackDown opened up their show with the In Loving Memory graphic. So just wanted to put that out there into the universe. Then we have a lot of confusion. Vince McMahon pops up on the screen. Don't know why he decides to make an entrance again. He's telling Adam Pearce, you got to go get all these signatures on this contract.
Yeah, poor Adam Pearce. Poor Adam Pearce. Put him to work. He put him right to work.
Yes.
Gave him basically said you're gonna have to do this. You're probably gonna have to pay Bray Wyatt a visit at the Firefly Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He made this very memeable face during this segment that I've seen everywhere. Vince was pretty entertaining in this segment, but it basically just set the scene that throughout the night, which we will see, Adam Pearce will be traveling to find the three members of the title triple threat match that we've already pretty much been promoted in a way for Payback, but they just now signed the contract. I don't know. WWE the only company that does things like that.
Yeah. They want it to be a spectacle, so that's what they get.
No, they can just false promote for a week. And then one of the people say, oh, I don't want to sign it, even though we know that never happens. But I'm never just happens. Saying.
So Jeff Hardy opens up the show officially. Saying how he's glad to see all of you virtual fans, and that his knee is fine. He wants to do an open challenge, but AJ comes in. Jeff says, oh, I was going to do an open challenge to everyone, but you. AJ goes on this blind ranting rampage.
It made me laugh. I'm sorry. Yeah,
AJ was hilarious. He turning red in the face.
AJ is hilarious. AJ is hilarious, but he has a point. As we saw in this match with Shinsuke Nakamura that he had, that Jeff Hardy went on to have after that, which ended up being to be a pretty solid match, but it came to an end when Jeff Hardy used said knee to Shinsuke's face, then did a twist of fate, and then hit the Swanton Bomb to retain his, I think it was for the belt. It was an open challenge. So yeah, he retained the Intercontinental title. And he beat Shinsuke using the knee brace, the same thing that AJ claims he's been doing. So AJ may be on to something. Jeff Hardy is healing cheating. He is cheating to win matches.
Then we pan.
Can you believe it?
Then we pan backstage. Guess who's back? Sami Zayn.
And guess who finished the last show playing his theme music? I'm just saying, hey, the higher ups in every company is listening to you, boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting some
leeway. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about it because you, as soon as you said, oh, I don't know their names, now they come out, Dax and Cash come out with jackets with their names on them.
Exactly. The Revival come out with jackets on their names because they realized I didn't know. You're right. Now they're going to come out with FTR on the jacket.
FTR.
The revelation is what
the revelation.
That's what old dude said. I thought it was what Tully called it. The revelation.
Oh, never mind. All right, we get
forever it. Fear the revelation or whatever he says.
Who's okay? We'll leave it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Moving on. Back to the company we were talking about.
Yeah. So Matt Riddle makes an entrance.
I do not like any promo Matt Riddle has gave on the main roster. I don't know what the hell they're giving him. He has that, you know, he doesn't have the craziest cadence when he speaks anyway. That's why I liked whatever NXT. I assume they let him just go wing it in NXT, but that's just me assuming. If it was a writer, whoever was writing for him in NXT should have traveled with him, because whatever they're giving him now is really making him sound I don't know. I don't really like it. Not that promos is what Matt Riddle is here for, because we know how good he is in the ring and all of that. But, you know, it is important, especially in Vince's eyes and on Vince's show. So.
Yeah. So, basically, he calling out Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin pretends to make an entrance. But guess what? He actually is getting Chad. I'm going to call you Chad. To try to fulfill that King's ransom yet again.
But yeah, I don't understand what Shorty G is getting out of it at this point. I would call him Chad, but at this point he acting like just somebody who don't deserve to get called their actual name, because like you've tried this like two or three times now and you failed every time, and it's pointless. Like, and then Michael Cole is now getting to the point where they say you have an identity crisis, which I have to agree with him, because it doesn't make sense why you even with Baron Corbin. But, you know, whatever. That's besides the point. I don't mind it. I would like him, if he's going to turn full heel. If he's going to be conflicted, actually be conflicted. But fighting for the King's ransom just to do it and then losing in like 3 minutes is probably not what I think. It's definitely what I know a guy as talented as Chad Gable deserve. It's definitely not something he deserves. He's just too good. So, yeah, that's interesting though. It was what it that match was even short. It was really short. You remember how fast? Like before you know it, the bro Derek and it was done.
Yeah, so, that was bad.
Yeah,
Didn't take long. I'm gonna skip some fluff. Bayley and Sasha come to the ring. They get out the mics. Bayley is just healing on Sasha at this point because she lost the title. She was like, I should have never let you face Asuka, but I knew you were jealous, so I wanted you to be happy. But I knew your history. I knew you couldn't successfully defend like a Raw tag title.
Straight up said that. Yeah, it's pretty much obvious that this split is coming, and it's really coming. Like, they basically
They put the foot on the gas.
They put every four in that shadow they can give. They can do. They've done everything they can. They foreshadowed the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Also, earlier, don't forget, before that, she healed on the backstage.
She did.
You know, basically saying, you know, that some people are just made to be tag champions. And Big E made a good point to point out that Sasha is just a tag champion. So you saying Sasha is only made for that?
She talking about you.
And she was hinting at it, because obviously when she laid on later to point out how Sasha couldn't defend. But, yeah, instead of being Bayley being like, you know, I should have took that bump for you the way you took it for me. No, she was like, no, I shouldn't have allowed you to even challenge Asuka in the first place. So that you know, there you go. So-called best friends. Sasha, later on in the segment, after giving her nice soliloquy, basically letting people know that she was gonna walk out with the tag team titles and her vengeance while looking right at Sasha. I noticed that. Like I said, they foreshadowed the hell out of the split that is inevitably coming. Mm-hmm. It's obviously coming. So,
yep.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to say about this when it comes to this whole Sasha and stuff. So are we gonna go with the whole Shayna? What are they gonna do if they win? That's the only problem. If Shayna and
they're gonna defend.
Naya wins, like who? But who? They hate each other, so are they gonna continue to keep fighting? It makes sense now because their only reason for fighting is because they don't like Sasha and Bayley. After you win the titles, what do you do then?
It's fair.
You know, okay. You know, I'm sure they can just, you know, move their focus over to someone else, which is probably what's gonna happen. But It's still, I'm thinking ahead. We'll do that. We'll worry about that in the predictions. Let's go.
Right. So then we see Drew Gulak looking for Braun.
First of all, I don't know why he was looking, because once he was done talking to Adam Pearce, he picked up this chair and walked right over to where Braun was standing. So it looked like he knew where Braun was the whole time.
Yeah.
And by the way,
it's still not a good or wise decision to hit him in the back with the chair.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's not wise to even accept his challenge later on when he demands Adam Pearce. I mean, when he tells Adam Pearce, I demand that you give me Gulak. No. You got your little chair shot back and tried to blame Adam Pearce for it. Stay away, Gulak. Stay away. But he couldn't. And to skip to that, now I'll just let you know, it wasn't that competitive. He was done in like 6 minutes, maybe, at the most. Power slam, obviously. And Braun Strowman signed his contract, and that's it. That's all we get to see of Braun Strowman in his camo gear. Look like he's going hunting. You know, the hair don't help. He grew his hair back a little bit, you know, very fast. Didn't look nice.
That mess.
Like I said, I understood why he went home. But yeah, so there you go.
No, there you not go. Then we have Shinsuke and Cesaro healing on Sammy, saying you don't belong here.
They made a good point. Shinsuke pointed out that Sammy hadn't called them in months. They did make sure to let you guys remember, though. They didn't do this. By the way, they have not done this to Roman. Have you know? They didn't do this to Roman.
They did.
But they make sure to remind you constantly that Sami Zayn was gone for 4 months. You left us, Sammy. That's what it felt like. But I don't mind it because, like, I don't know how much I got into it earlier, but Sammy appeared with the belt. You know, he's obviously going to be doing something with Jeff down the line or whatever. So, over the Intercontinental title. And I'm just happy they had enough continuity to let Sammy still, you know, have the belt. So
exactly. Because
you pick your battles with Sami Zayn the way they book Sammy. You pick your battles. You just hope. You hope for the best.
Agreed. Hit my button for me, please.
Which one?
Fashion Corner. Fashion Corner. All right, so
I said which one is the same noise.
I know. So Kalisto is wearing this like fur-lined vest or fur-collared vest, and I messes with that. Like, it looks pretty good. He's out here flexing the abs, you know, got the contacts in. The fur kind of spoke to me as gimmick infringement because, I mean, Lince Dorado has the fur on his mask. But it looked good, so I'm not going to complain. That is it. Fashion Corner.
See, that is why Kalisto got cocky, and he obviously going to turn on Lucha House Party. He got abs. When you get abs, you turn into an ass. Okay, I'm joking. That's not always the case, but that's what it seemed like when Kalisto come back, and now Lucha House problem. They had no problem this whole time, but when he come back with abs, he jacked, ripped.
Bro.
Now they got problems.
Now they got problems.
But yeah, Kalisto lost that match, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned it.
It was against Cesaro, and it was because of the distraction. Kalisto lost his match. Oh, the bloody roll-up.
That's what it was? Was it a
schoolboy pin?
Oh, the legendary, the never faded, never late, always on time, anytime you need it. It's the roll up. The dreaded roll up. You already know what it is. Anyway, next match, people. Next, we cut to
Nikki Cross telling Alexa that she's fiendish.
I didn't really like that the approach by Nikki Cross here, because I don't think a little bit of kink in your hair automatically reminds you of the fiend.
Yeah.
That one little thing.
Knotted piece of hair.
One little knotted piece of hair. But anyway, it's nice to see Alexa obviously reverting back. So I seen a very good joke that I think you would appreciate. They were like, okay, so if you mess with the fiend, you revert back to old gimmicks now, because, you know, since Alexa have her Harley Quinn hair back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people saying, okay, so maybe he needs to go do something with Shardy G so he can return to Chad Gable.
That snort is going to get annoying.
It's facts, though. That snort came from facts. So, I'm going to be honest with you. I love it. I love all of the little continuity of how even Braun has changed, Braun has kind of reverted back. You know, he's more of old dude pushing over trucks and stuff, pushing over the ambulances. He kind of reverted back to that type of stuff. And I like that Alexa is turning back into this more of a character. Even though, honestly, in her character, personally, who she is, she's not catty and all of that yet. She's actually playing more of a unhinged. Like, she got the look of the Harley Quinn, but she got more of a crazed character work here. Because she's more like, oh, okay, I thought we were friends. You know, she kind of overreacted.
Smashing to stuff.
But she mentioned the fiend and she stares off into space. So it's more of a crazy, part to it,
exactly.
Too. Or more of a mental thing to it, too, instead of it just being catty old mean girl Alexa Bliss. And that's, I'm going to be honest with you, that's room for money, because Alexa was great in that role. So if she can be great in this role, and we already know she's great at being, the heel, mm-hmm. We can see another powerful run for Alexa Bliss coming. And I wouldn't be mad at it.
I agree. I think it'll be a good fit.
Especially in the difference in your, it's always great when you redo your character and you get a ring.
And it's been a while since she's like touched some gold,
right? Right, and then like you said, she hasn't been able to actually like wrestle like to what we remember from her since like what 2018,
yeah,
because of injuries or whatever has been going on off and on. So yeah, it's been a while. So yeah, it's great. I like it. I really like it.
Oh yeah,
and I like Tamina's involvement. No matter, even though if it looks like she's changed her style of character for the billionth time, WWE would never give her anything.
Let's see.
I'll leave it alone.
All right, the main event.
Another time.
The main event of the night was Big E and Heavy Machinery versus John Morrison, Sheamus, and The Miz. Now, the funny part is, Sheamus got really upset.
He was angry most of this match.
He was so
By the way, mad. The promo before the match with Morrison, setting up their strategy, was very hilarious. I just want to point that out. That was very funny. I really enjoyed that segment. And I enjoyed all of Sheamus's blow up. It was very funny, him running out and Miz being cowardly and Big E getting the victory at the end of the match. The match is pretty simple. It accomplished what it was set out to do, which was, I guess, be the main event. It wasn't really the strongest main event, but this SmackDown wasn't really the strongest in-ring SmackDown. They weren't really trying to, you could tell they were trying to go home to, like, a pay-per-view. They weren't really trying. They were just trying to get through this show so we can get to payback, and then, then you build more stores. Then you have more competitive matches on the card. Either way it go, I think the SmackDown did what it needed to do. It was a pretty good show. I did enjoy it. It was a little bit all over the place. I do agree with anyone who thinks that. It was definitely all over the place in moments. But I like the Adam Pearce moments. I love the shock ending.
Are we going to get into that now?
That we need to get into right now, by the way, which takes this show over the top to me, if you ask me.
Yeah, so Adam Pearce finally found his last signature requiree, Roman Reigns. And Roman goes spouting off at the mouth, talking about how I'm going to win this title that I never lost.
He's going to wreck and leave.
And that's not a rumor, that's a spoiler. And you know who that is. And then you got the camera panning out to see Paul Heyman sitting next to Roman saying, believe that. So Roman's a Paul Heyman guy now, so he's turning heel, obviously. How do we feel about this? Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh my freaking goodness. Finally, it's
If you're going to do it this way. I like it. It's a nice rebrand. And I don't even necessarily think it means heel as much as it means Roman don't give a damn about what people whether or not you think he's heel or not. Like, I felt like it was always, like, he always portrayed a character that seemed not to care or be the big dog or was always cooler than that. But he obviously cared because of the way they booked him.
Right.
I think now you put him in a situation here where he's just going to come in, you know, do his job, you know, talk maybe a little bit of mess. Now with Paul Heyman, he don't even have to talk, which a lot of people thought was his weak point anyway at Babyface. So now what's his weak point? You can't tell me it's his in-ring work.
It's not.
And now he's finally going to be a little bit more edgy or a little bit less like John Cena clone that people call him. So now you got everything you want out of Roman. So I don't see, I don't see how they can mess this up.
There's
you know,
nothing
they could
stopping
mess it up, but I don't see how they mess this up. And, yeah, let's get into these predictions because I don't think this bodes well for the Fiend's belt.
Nope. So let's start off with that match. We got Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. No holds barred. I'm picking Roman.
Yeah, I think I'm picking Roman too. I think I think we all know that Roman's winning this match is pretty obvious, and this has nothing to do with any Meltzer rumors or anything. It's just obvious that, you know, it, like you said, he never lost that belt originally. He lost his spot at WrestleMania. He was definitely going to beat Goldberg. We all know that.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for Roman leaving. The Fiend obviously wouldn't have had anything to do with the Universal title, probably, if it wasn't for Roman leaving. Not necessarily if it wasn't for Roman leaving, but it definitely, he wouldn't be the champion that he was right here because, you know, who knows what would have happened if Roman actually stayed on board and, you know, things could be completely different. So, Roman Reigns is winning that match.
All right, then we got the Women's Tag Team Championship, Bayley and Sasha Banks.
I think Paul Heyman makes it even more likely, too, by the way. Sorry.
Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I'm picking the Tag Team Champions to lose, so Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, strictly because they pulled the line, these tag team titles represent our friendship. We can't lose them. Y'all gonna lose them.
Yo, see, that's cool. I didn't even notice that. So they really were trying to weave a lot of foreshadowing there. So that's what I mean. I think it's going to be Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax winning because of all of that. But they could hold on to it for a little bit longer. But, you know, I told you that I think they're definitely waiting to pull this trigger until we can get into either WrestleMania season or even into a crowd. And I don't know, maybe the Thunderdome is close as they think. I think they'll probably realize this is probably as close as we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's of having any people anywhere is doing it this way. So maybe it's time to pull the trigger on it and we can move towards it. But I don't know. I really don't know. I truly don't know if Bayley and Sasha will be split up after this. But I do agree with you. I think we'll have new tag team champions.
Then we've got the United States Championship match, Apollo Crews versus Bobby Lashley. I'm picking Roberto to win strictly because I'm tired of Apollo fighting these folks. That's really it.
Wow. So you think Bobby's gonna win because you're tired? Because Apollo is tired of fighting.
Nah, Bobby the one that put him on the shelf. So allegedly,
Bobby's gonna win. So you think because you're tired of seeing Apollo fight him?
Nah, I feel like if Bobby wins, then we can move on from this. But I doubt it. So I'm still picking Bobby.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. I'm going with Apollo Crews. Out of the opposite hope. I'm hoping that since Apollo wins, it's over. He's beating everyone in the Hurt Business. So maybe it's over here. So if Apollo can pull it out, hopefully it's over. But I agree with you. Either way, I think the worst case scenario, and I think this is what we're probably going to get, either way it goes, probably still going to be going on in some way, shape, or form.
That's true. All right, next
or up. Or maybe say it.
Nah.
Come turn on. I don't know.
He better not.
We'll wait.
He better not. Leave that alone.
We'll see. You're right.
Mind your business, Sid. Randy Orton versus Keith Lee is next. Who you picking?
Okay. Who I think is going to win and who I think should win are two different things. So, of course, I think Keith Lee, I think it would be a great way to just put him over as real hot shit. But I understand if they want Randy Orton to win, because Randy Orton is indeed the hottest heel in the company. Mm-hmm. And why end his momentum? So, I think Randy's going to win. It's going to be a great match, but I think Randy's going to win. He's going to prevail. But I think it'll be a great star-making moment if you let Keith Lee win.
I agree. We are always behind Keith Lee here on the pod, but Randy might come out and punt kick or something odd. That's
always a chance.
Oh yeah, I also appreciate how he stopped doing the RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, because that's more of his babyface role, kind of. Like, yeah. The fan, if it was a live crowd, the fans would like that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Then we got Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
I really want this to be over.
Yeah, this storyline has been going forever. I really thought they would just go ahead and do Rey and Seth, or maybe Dominic and Seth again, just in a different format or something. But I guess I understand why they didn't do that either. But maybe Rey and Seth for the last time, finally we could get it over. But because I don't think this feud ends in a tag match either, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't.
But it is a thing where someone tried to take out an eye or whatever. So I guess it makes sense for it to be a long-winded storyline because of how important the stuff that they're talking about is. But, I'm with you. It's been going on for a long time. As a matter of fact, most of these quarantine episodes that has anything to do with Raw have been talking about the exact same feud for months now. So, mm-hmm. And that's a fact. So, no problem. All
right, moving on. So, we got King Corbin. Well, the final confirmed match.
Yeah.
It's going to be King Corbin versus Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle is winning that match. I think everybody knew that.
King Corbin doesn't win.
King Corbin do not win these matches. He is also the welcome mat of NXT. I like King Corbin, but he's going to lose to a new NXT guy because it's time to get him over, and that's just usually what he does. And
I'll be pleasantly surprised.
I'll be shocked too. And I think also that wouldn't bode well for Matt Riddle right off the bat if he loses to Baron Corbin.
Agreed.
So,
all right. So
no offense to Baron. I think there's more just because I think he's settled into this. He's been placed into this role of this is what you do. You get heat and then you lose.
All right. You done now?
Yeah.
All right. So the first of two unconfirmed but probably likely matches, we've got the IC Championship being defended, possibly Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn.
But I think that's just what everyone wants. I really doubt that match is going to happen.
But since we already have a three-way, it could just be AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that's probably more likely. Because AJ actually will deserve payback. If that was to happen, I'd probably choose Jeff in retaining. But I wouldn't be surprised if AJ retained, but I don't see a point in getting Jeff the belt if he's just going to lose in like 8 days, so. I haven't many days, 14, 15 days. So, No.
All right. And then last, we have Big E versus Sheamus. You know, this battle stemmed from being the locker room leader.
Yeah, I remember that. After what just happened on Friday, they didn't really lead into it enough because Sheamus just kind of blew up on his teammates and he didn't really interact with Big E. But if they do have a match, I'm choosing Big E.
I agree. Sheamus needs to be beaten up a couple times after that whole junkie thing. But that's it. And I'm not looking up any rumors because it's not important today.
No, we gotta do that right now. That's not the point of this show. We did it again, another impromptu wrestling week, but we've taken care of everything. So
in stride.
Yep, we've done everything we could. So we're gonna try to get back to you guys and maybe it's definitely gonna be a payback review.
Yeah,
hopefully everything will be a little bit back to normal next week, but we shall see. If not, you guys know where to find me on Mind Monty Pod on Twitter. If not, anywhere else that my socials in. I don't feel like promoting them all at the moment, so I don't even know why I went into them. So anyway, if you're listening to this, you probably got it off my social anyway. So thank you. Anyway, so anything you gotta say? Nope. They're good. We're cool. All right. This was fun. Nice. I'm glad to get it done. You guys are gonna get the classic, the old school. I'm just for the press the button. Bye, y'all.